In 1966, Marty Mart was shot down while flying a mission over North Vietnam. Wednesday morning, live from Custer, Marty Mart tells his story of how he was rescued and how he survived during an Old Guys and Their Airplanes debrief hosted by John Mollison. The interactive event begins at 11 Central, 10 Mountain, and it's a partnership with SDPB, so you can tune in at sdpb.org/OGTA. Debrief, OGTA, of course, Old Guys, Their Airplanes. Here to fill us in on that program, it's called Never Alone. We welcome the man behind Old Guys and Their Airplanes, John Mollison. John, welcome back to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be here, Lori.
For people who are unfamiliar with the concept of a debrief and how they can participate, I want to start there with, who all is involved in really connecting with this story.
Well, what we're doing is we're taking these interviews that I get to do as part of the production crew of Old Guys and Their Airplanes and bringing it to the public in a new way. We literally film an interview or broadcast an interview with me and the veteran, but there's a real cool twist to it. With the help of you all at South Dakota Public Broadcasting, we allow the audience to text in questions, and live, I get to ask the veteran the question. It's really a moment for people to get a chance that they normally wouldn't have to connect with somebody who's really had an eyewitness view on history.
Yeah. Now tell me a little bit about Marty Mart and this aircraft that he was flying, because I understand there was a pretty, percentage-wise, pretty big chance that the aircraft would be lost. Tell me about his aircraft and his mission.
Well, he flew an airplane called the F-105 Thunder Chief. And if you Google it, it really looks like the quintessential Vietnam War airplane. It's sleek. It's got the, if you see pictures, the wings are hung with bombs. And it was a strike fighter, but it was practically a bomber. And it was the largest bomb single-engine, single-seat aircraft in the Air Force inventory at the time. And it was used to, take out targets in North Vietnam. And North Vietnam was terrifically defended. So these pilots of the F-105s were not only going deep into enemy territory, they were going into heavily defended enemy territory. And by the end of the war, slightly over 40% of all the F-105s made were shot down.
Wow.
So it was if you really just wrap your head around climbing into this airplane and flying a mission, these guys knew they were going into the tough stuff. And Marty was one of those statistics. If I can bring up some statistics for you and your audience. Of that 395, breaking it down, 101, 26% of the F-105 pilots and crew that were shot down were made POWs, and 37%, 146, were killed. Marty was one of 148 that were rescued. So it's really a story about being snatched out of the statistics of fate. And Marty got to live a life that over almost two-thirds of the people who flew F-105s and were shot down didn't.
So after talking with him, many times we understand these statistics in retrospect, but did he have a sense, did the pilots at the time have a sense that their odds were that tough? Did they know that? Or is that something that we figured out years later?
No, that's a great question, Lori. These guys knew exactly what they were doing and what they were getting into. Yeah,
wow.
I've talked to a number of F-105 pilots, and they all say the same thing. We're shooting to make our 100 missions, which was the requirement to be able to rotate home. But you can tell, with those kind of numbers, it was long odds to accomplish that.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Marty as a person before we find out what happened to him during this fateful mission. Who is he? What's his connection to South Dakota?
Well, if you bumped into him at the grocery store, I think Marty looks like the typical old guy, you know. He's very typical of the breed. He's humble, he's quiet, but if you get to Custer and you go out to his place, he's got a little horse ranch out there. He's been a part of South Dakota. I think he's third generation South Dakotan, and is exactly what you'd expect from the grandfatherly type of old guy you just see at, you know, like I said before, at the grocery store. But the surprise of the film is not just Marty's story, but when we went in to film and to talk to Marty, right away it was apparent that I was also telling his wife Colleen's story as well. Because you have to think about this. When Marty's shot down, you get that blue car showing up wherever you're at. And whenever you see that blue car, and that blue car is the Air Force staff car that they're sending out to give you bad news, that affects other people. And Colleen, in the film, was able to express what that's like. Colleen was able to express what the home front is like when you receive the news that your husband or your son or whatever is has been lost.
Tell me a little bit about this mission. What is he doing and what happens to him? Because we know that he makes it to raising horses in South Dakota again, but that is not a given, depending, judging from what happened that day. Tell me what happened that day.
Yeah, you have to put yourself in the moment. He was part of three F-105s that took off to it was an armory, which is basically a supply depot in a place called Yen Bai, and Yen Bai is north and west of Hanoi. And typical mission, you're going to get shot at, it's going to be tough. He went in, and as he pulled out of the target, he received a brace of 37-millimeter fire that stitched his wing open. And at that point, you've got maybe 5-10 seconds to decide what you're going to do next. And he had a quick confirmation of another pilot in the flight that was able to say right away, Marty, you got a hole blown in your wing, and you're getting out. And so he punched out as soon as he crossed the Red River. And at the time, this is something interesting. It was, and it still may be, the furthest north rescue, ejection and rescue in the Vietnam War. Meaning, when Marty ejected out of his F-105, he is as far away from help as you can possibly get. And if you can imagine, he floats down, you're in enemy territory, you no longer have your jet, you no longer have your airplane. The only lifeline you've got is a radio for help and the guys who've stuck around and are trying to vector in the Jolly Green Giant rescue helicopters, the Sandy A1, the Sandy's the call sign for the A1 Sky Raiders that would come in and fly top cover to keep Marty safe. Because you got villagers, you've got North Vietnamese Army that are now right going after the pilot, because the pilot is a great pawn of war. He becomes a prisoner of war. And it becomes a dramatic moment. It's about 2.5 hours where Marty was on the ground and waiting for rescue. And the thing is, I mean, you look at those statistics, not everybody got rescued. 37% were rescued. The rest were killed or made prisoner of war. That's tough. So if you can imagine being in the dragon's jaw, so to speak, and waiting, and you are completely powerless, all you have to do, all you can do, is wait and hope your friends pick you up.
Right. Is he injured in the ejection?
A little bit, but not so much. Talking to Marty, and I always ask the question, what's it like to eject and then look down and know you're going into Vietnam? And this is the first time I've talked to somebody who had to bail out. But Marty said, I ejected, and the next thing I knew that he was able to imagine was that he had ants crawling on his hand, and he was standing upright, and he had taken off his parachute. The adrenaline of the moment caused him to black out the whole bit.
How many people have to come together to make this? I mean, how many people have to put their lives at risk to help save this one pilot that's on the ground?
Oh, well, you're a veteran. Lori, you understand teamwork. You understand this. And we've been trying to put together what that number is. And so and we can quickly get to 100 quickly, but we figure in it practically, tactically, in the moment, between 18 and 26.
Wow.
And there, everybody there is risking their life as well.
So people are going to have a chance to send questions into Marty to hear your interview with him live. But you also have this education kit. And in this kit, there are, you know, diagrams and pictures of Marty growing up. And then these, you know, sort of writing prompts or essay prompts, getting students to think more deeply. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, John, before we let you go, because kids these days are facing some really tough times, just in life in general, and then also in this year of disruption, for sure. Tell me a little bit about the education kit and why you think the life and the story of Marty Mart can help have relevance to younger learners today.
Well, on a big picture, the education kit, in my opinion, is the crux of why we do what we do. How we can learn from the past and from the lives of others. To me, that's the fuel of just evolving as a human. And the Distinguished Flying Cross Society hosts these little educators kits on their website. You go to dfcsociety.org and see educators kit. But you bring up the question then, you know, today's history, we have a lot of drama going on. You might even say more drama than normal. You know, these kids today are growing up with a crazy political environment. They're growing up with COVID and a lot of question, and aside from just the natural pressures of life. And we created this educator's kit to go as far away from names, dates, and places as we could and get to the heart of history, and that is, what can we learn as people? And the educator's kit and the questions aren't really designed to, I mean, you do learn about Marty's moment, but they're really designed to help you, the viewer, the student, the reader, appropriate the lesson and then try to improve yourself. So it's a way to take history and make it real. It's a way to take history, something in the past, and make it present so we can learn and apply from the future. And I can tell you that Marty was most interested in that when we approached him last year about being a part of a film. You know, Marty knows that his story, his service, his circumstances were exceptional. But he also knows that it had better be relevant to somebody else to really make a change in life. Otherwise, it's just an old man's experience. So the educator's kit really becomes a way of saying to the student, all right, now that you hear the story, how can you appropriate that in your life? Is there ever a time when you needed help? Or is there ever a time when you've seen somebody else that needs help? What do you do? Are you willing to make a sacrifice or not? Is there a time when you wouldn't want to make a sacrifice to help somebody? I know that's a crazy question, but it gets your brain thinking, and you put yourself in history, and suddenly history becomes alive, and those lessons become real, and then we can walk away stronger, and wealthier, and better.
Never Alone, the Marty Mart story, is Wednesday's Old Guy and Their Airplanes debrief. You can watch and you can ask questions by logging on at sdpb.org/OGTA debrief. We'll put a link up on our website after the program. There's also more information at oldguysandtheirairplanes.com. John Mollison has been our guest. Look forward to that interview, John. Thanks so much for the preview today.
Thank you very much for letting me come on and talk. We hope to see all your listeners there.